As I Lay Dying by William Faulkner. Dramatized for radio by James Friel. As I Lay Dying.
Cora Tull, neighbor more than a score in 10 years, know how it should have been. Addie Bundren loved before any of her children. More than cash, her firstborn, and grown
to be a good carpenter,
my husband Tull says, although
Cash bust his leg last fall and limps, but still.
I know the wood, how it lies. How it can do most anything but love you back as you love it.
No, it was not Cash Addie Bundren should have loved most, if she loved anyone, but for he was the one who needed her. Who was considered queer and odd by us. For sure, he loved her most, more than
Jewel,
who was mean and wild. But she took Jules' meanness and his wildness and carried her love for him inside her like it was some sin she never could expiate for all the fires in hell. So it was always Jewel of all her children, and not that near-naked girl of hern, that Dewey Dell, nor little Vardaman, her last-born, and never right in my eyes. Not any of them right, but with a heart too full of words. And now I think it was a sin
for Aunt Bundren to send those boys off hauling lumber.
As I lay dying.
For neither Dar nor Jewel were there as Addie Bundren.
Lay dying.
But off hauling lumber for $3 sent by their pa because
$3 is $3. And a man must earn it as he may.
Aunt Bundren.
I am a luckless man. And ever have been.
Told them boys of his.
As I lay dying.
She'll be here when you come back.
Except she weren't. And Darl knew it. Darl, with that mind of his too wide for this narrow world, knew incontrovertibly.
Addie Bundren is dying!
I'm up here in these woods miles from home a day away or more, and I am with Jewel, who is my brother, and not my brother, and I holler up at him.
Addie Bundren is dying!
And Jewel is high up on his horse, and the horse rears up, and Jewel is enclosed by a glittering maze of hooves, as by an illusion of wings, and I know he is thinking,
I am my horse. My horse is mine. It's me.
They are like two figures carved for a tableau sauvage in the sun.
Jewel, do you know she's gonna die? Addie Bundren is set to die.
The sun is a bloody egg and the light is copper. We could burn in it.
Addie Bundren is gonna die!
Better us up here than down there watching with them other goddamn vultures.
Is all he'll say. He doesn't look at me nor nothing else. He is himself alone, him and the horse, all one. No thoughts but this, maybe.
If there's a god, what the hell's he for? If it was Ma and me, we'd be up on this high hill, not down there. And me rolling rocks down the hill, picking them up and throwing them down the hill and all. So there'd be me and her, alone.
Addie Bundren is gonna die.
Shut the goddamn up, you thick-brained, goddamn no-brain, goddamn son of a bitch! Shut the goddamn up!
It takes two people to make you, but only one to die.
None of the Bundrens is good for much, each devious in their minds.
And Aunt Bundren never did a tick of good but marry Addie Bundren. But they're neighbors of ourn, and so Cora and me,
we did our God-given duty.
And called on them most days, and that last day,
as I lay dying,
I sat by her bed, and I said, Addie Bundren, you are dying, and you must look on God or the devil. Which Under her quilt, she made no more of a hump than a rail, with her quilt pulled up to her chin, hot as it was, and the face wasted away so the bones draw under the skin. The eyes like two candles you watch gutter down.
"Shall I call on the preacher, Mr. Whitfield?"
At preacher Mr. Whitfield's name, I swore she stirred, but she did not. Although he is a good man, full of God and great spiritual beauty, he could bring her divine joy, but I fear...
"Eternal grace is not upon you, Addie Bundren."
"But I will pray for her and not condemn. For that fool girl of hern was there, that Dewey Dell in an unironed slip, flapping a fan and thinking what thoughts no decent girl should frame."
"Mama is a dying, while inside of me is living, all curled up and feathered, a lump of love made inside. But I hate it being there and want it dead before it even shows."
"Is she sleeping?"
"No, Mrs. Tull, I reckon not. She just can't bear to watch Cash yonder."
And out yonder was Cash, the eldest of her boys, right underneath her window, so she could watch how...
"He was making a coffin for Addie Bundren."
"As I lay dying."
"She had to watch that fool man with a busted leg carve out the box she were lying until judgment."
"Right beneath her window."
"Like a heathen."
"Addie Bundren could not want a better box to lie in."
Cash is thinking as the adze chucks and the wood he planes is yellow butter, soft gold. He is sawing the yellow day in half.
"She won't want a better box to lie in, Mrs. Tull. I am making it on the bevel."
"Indeed. Duadell?"
"Mrs. Tull?"
"Has Addie spoke at all?"
"Nope. Mama ain't but spoke the once this whole week, and I've been here most times."
"She not called on God, nor the preacher, Mr. Whitfield, nor on me?"
"She not call on no one, except Pa that one time."
"She called on me before she took to her bed last week."
"My wife, Clara, was sitting by Addie Bundren as she lay dying, and I was out on the old porch with her husband, Hans Bundren, and he was telling me..."
"No man mislike it more than me."
"We can hear Cash a-hammering and a-sawing round the back a-piece, making a box in which Addie Bundren would perpetually reside."
"She's a-going. Her mind is set on it."
"Well, the Lord giveth, and the Lord he taketh clean away." Ance's wrists dangle out of his sleeves. I never did see him with a shirt on like it was his in all my life.
She wants to go to Jefferson. She wants to be buried in Jefferson."
"In Jefferson?"
"In Jefferson," I said when I heard.
"Why, that's clear 3 days away and more."
"If she was set on Jefferson, why didn't she go there when she was alive?"
Her mind is set on it. No man must like it more than me, but as soon as she's done, we must take her to Jefferson."
"Why not New Hope? Ain't nothing but 3 miles away, and ain't all your folks buried at New Hope?"
"Her folks come from Jefferson. Her mind is set."
"Trust Aunt Bundren to marry a woman born a hard day's ride away."
"Will the boys be back in time? I mean, Darl and Jewel out all in lumber. Will she hang on for them?"
"Her mind is set on it. No man mislike it more than me. I am a luckless man and ever have been."
"Bury me in Jackson, with them of my blood waiting for me."
"It was her wish to lie among her own."
"Ain't Darl her own? Ain't Cash? Ain't Jewel and Dewey Dell and little Vardaman her own?"
"I bore them, and I bred each of them with his or her secret and selfish thought and blood. Strange to me and to each other. I would look forward to the time when they faltered and I would whip them. When the switch fell, I could feel it on my own flesh. Now you are aware of me, I thought. Now I am something in your secret, selfish flesh."
"She will rest the quieter for being taken there in her own wagon and
knowing it was her own blood sawed out the coffin and drove in the nails. She was ever one to clean up after herself.
When I was sitting there and listening to all this, and the youngest of them, the last and little one, Varda man, came up from the creek carrying a fish nigh long as him. He flung that big fish down on the ground and spat on it like a man. Oh, what's that, Varda man? Hey, hog?
A fish, Mr. Tull.
They're nigh as long as you.
I got it down by the creek. You see it, Pa?
Hey, you pick up that fish and clean it, boy.
Oh, Pa. Can't do it, they'll clean it.
Your sister's in with your ma. You clean it.
That fish of his was lying in the dirt, gape mouth and goggle-eyed as him, hiding in the dirt, like it was ashamed to be dead.
Damn fish. Goddamn fish. Damn whore, but goddamn fish.
That's it, boy. Go clean it, and we'll eat it for supper, right enough.
Darn nigh as long as he is.
See over there? Down the road?
Yeah, that's the doctor coming. Old Peabody.
I reckoned I ought to send for him. No man mislike it more than me. No man mislike a road more than me.
Yeah, you plan on going all the way to Jeff's.
No man mislike moving more than me. If God aimed for a man to be moving always, he'd have put him long ways on his belly like a snake. But in Jefferson, when we done planted Addie in the ground, I planned to get me a whole set of new teeth. Hardman! Hardman, get out here, boy!
You want me, Pa?
Look at you, boy. Bloody as a hog.
Well, I chopped it with an axe. Is Ma sick some more?
Go fetch a rope and pull Dr. Peabody up the hill a piece.
If I had not sworn some sort of fool ethic in medical college, I would not have been ridden out here at all. But when Ants Bundren finally sent for me of his own accord, I said, he's worn her out at last.
Dr. Peabody is 70 years old, bigger than two mules tied belly to back. No way he could walk up the hill to Addie Bundren.
Now, you hold tight there, Dr. Peabody.
What the hell does your wife mean, taking sick on the top of a mountain?
Now, you hold tight there. Yeah.
I done already wrote this visit on my books. Yeah. So I'm going to charge you just the same whether I get there or not.
You're together now. One. Two, three! Yeah, Doc.
Hey, you leave that rope there, because I don't aim to stop, for there's a storm coming. And only a fool like you, Ants Bundren, would call for a doctor in the face of a cyclone.
Dr. Peabody's puzzle-gutted himself with eating greens. He's come to kill my mama like I killed my fish.
Show me to her. You know she's better dead, and I hope I'm not in time to save her.
He will kill my mama like I killed my fish.
The girl, Dewey Dell, was standing by the bed, fanning Addie Bundren, or herself, more like. Addie Bundren looked as if she had been dead 10 days, and was so if death is understood to be not a phenomenon of the body, but an action of the mind.
I see Peabody come in. He fills the room and sucks up the sulfurous air, and he look at me. And I knew he could save me and the love I do not want that lies curling in my belly.
Beneath the quilt, Addie Bundren was no more than a bundle of rotten sticks.
Ants Bundren, why did you send for me earlier?
It was just one thing and then another. Up with the boys out hauling lumber and Dewey Dell taking good care of her. And there was the money.
Damn the money. You ever hear of me worrying a feller before he's ready to pay?
He is a balloon of guts. and he has come to kill my mama like she is a fish.
Her mind is set on dying.
He is killing my mama like I done killed that fish with an axe.
Pa, look there. Look there.
Addie Bundren is watching me, eyes wide, like lamps flaring up before the oil is gone.
She wants you out.
The boy was right. Her eyes showed all that pride we carry stubbornly into the earth. So I left the room as Addie Bundren called out.
Cass!
Her mouth bites the air like a fish I done plucked from the water.
It's Jewel she wants.
Then why she call on Cash?
It's always Jewel she wants.
They's out hauling lumber a day away. Jewel and Darryl both.
Cash!
It is Cash she calls, but it is Jewel she wants. But Jewel is with me and I am Darryl. And we are hauling lumber one day away, and though I am one day away, I am Darryl still. My mind is wide and so can see how Cash rises at his name.
Cash!
And how he sees Ma's face framed by the window as she lies dying. And it is in twilight a composite picture of all the times since he was a child and she done called his name, and so
I hold up a plank to let her see and call out.
I'm gonna make it on the bevel, Ma. He will never have a better box in which to lie.
Addie Bundren looks on with neither approbation nor with censure, and lies back, eyes on little Vardaman, two flames which flare up for an instant, and then go out as though someone had leaned down and blew them out. Addie Bundren is dead.
Ma? Ma?
Duadel flings herself across Addie Bundren as if to stop the soul flying free, and clutches her with all the furious strength of the young, sprawled suddenly across a handful of bones. And maybe the love that lies all curled up inside the belly of Duadel leaps to see such passing, while all color drains from Bottoman's face as though by some means he has fleshed his own teeth in himself, sucking himself pale.
There is no color in her face no more. She is fish-colored, no color at all. And I know that fat doctor, he done killed her.
Do it, yeah. Get up off your maw. Get supper. And fish, maybe. Fry it good.
Yes, Pa.
Cash?
Yes, Pa?
That box near done?
Another day, I reckon. I'm a-making on the bevel.
We have to go to Jefferson. God's will be done. Now I can get them teeth.
The day drives level and gray.
In Jefferson, I will kill the thing within me.
Hiding the sun by a flight of gray spears.
In Jefferson, we will bury her with her own blood.
In a coffin I have made, seams and joints all on the bevel.
In Jefferson.
The hills dissolve into a steaming mass of dark green, neither of each nor sky. A great storm heralds her passing. I am with my brother Jewel, and we are a day away and more.
And I will find me a means to take away what lives and curls inside of me, and let it die outside in Jefferson.
And I will buy me a set of brand new teeth in Jefferson.
I hide in the dark barn while that fat doctor rides off home in the wind and the rain. My ma's blood on him oily and fish-like, though no one sees it but me. And in the barn dark is also my mother. In the swimming dark, Addie Bundren is a fish. My mother is a fish.
I go out to the barn, thinking I am alone.
Duadel does not see me here. I am swimming in the dark, and my mother is a fish.
It is dark here in this barn, and I swim in it, and the cows breathe hot on my hips, and the dead air shapes the dead earth until the dead darkness, dead and warm, touches me naked through my clothes. Addie Bundren is dead, and I am not, nor what is in me and wants to be born. I feel like a wet seed in the hot, blind earth.
My mother is a fish.
I helped Cash finish up the coffin. And we laid Addie Bundren in it and then carried the thing out to the barn where it could rest easy. So we thought.
They nailed the lid down to keep her in, or else she would float out into the swimming dark.
Then what a heathen sight there was, as not 1 hour later.
But that little Vardaman was a-lying on top of his mama's coffin like a felled steer.
He had bored the coffin lid clean full of holes.
So that she could breathe.
When we took the lid off, we found he had bored 2 holes right through her face.
Suffer, the little children.
I can make another lid. I can make it slow and careful. This lid was awful rushed, and darling Jewel ain't back, and I figure we have another day.
3 days Addie Bundren lay in her bed with no coffin ready and neither Dar nor Jewel to mourn her.
It is night black when we come at last, Jewel and me, and Addie Bundren is dead and...
It's then we take up the coffin again.
We raise it to our shoulders.
It is nothing to lift, so light I made it, softly planed.
We move slowly with our burden.
Although it is empty and just a goddamn box.
And Addie still in her bed waiting for them to come.
And we moved with hushed...
precautionary...
words to one another.
Speaking as if it slumbered slightly.
Alive and waiting.
When it is just a goddamn box.
On dark floors our feet clump as though for a long time we have not walked on floors.
Tomorrow we head for Jefferson.
Rain died away, and morning came with news that the river was up and rising. There'd be no way to cross it unless you were a fool.
He'd have been better burying her at New Hope, but no.
Her mind is set on Jefferson.
People came from all over to pay their respects, as is their way, all stiff in Sunday clothes.
She has gone to a better place.
The women folk went off into the house, and their talk sounded like bees murmuring in a water basket. And Cash came out to us men, limping as he does all the worse nowadays.
I'm ready to nail her in.
They lay me in my coffin in reverse.
I made this coffin for her. Every joint and seam.
They lay me head to toe so as not to crush my wedding dress.
Better a wedding dress than an unironed shroud.
We lay her head to foot so the dress has space to spread out and...
make her a veil out of mosquito net so as to hide the drill holes in her face.
And as they nail me down, I hear...
Lord, comfort this house.
Mr. Whitfield.
The preacher man.
And may he bless this poor woman who lies here, poor Addie Bundren, as was.
If I could stir in this my coffin, it is at his voice that I would so do.
He comes in all wet and muddy to the waist.
He done crossed the river by the ford.
The bridge would not have held me, nor my horse. So he and me, we breasted the wild river for to be here and to bless this man who has lost so dear a soul.
Is the river high?
Mighty high.
It looks like you'll have to go to New Hope after all, Ants.
We can cross that river.
With a coffin and a mule and a 3-wheeled wagon?
Her mind is set on it. I promised her.
It will take the Lord to get you over that river. I shall pray for it, and you, and her. Shall we gather at the river?
Shall we gather at the river?
Where the bright angel feet have trod.
In the house, the women sing, and Whitfield, too.
In the thick air, His voice twines with theirs and flows about me as once his touch enlivened my dull flesh.
I love that woman, and I do confess it. And when they told me she was dying, I wrestled all night with Satan. I thought were I to come and she still living, I would kneel down before her husband and cry out, I have sinned, do with me what thou wilt. For surely she would have confessed to him on her deathbed. But the Lord's hand bore me safely over the flood, fended me from the dangers of the water. I have sinned, but he is merciful, and so I could enter this house of bereavement while Addie Bundren's soul, in its damned silence, faced the awful and irrevocable judgment of the Lord. Peace to her ashes.
She has her reward in heaven or in hell, wherever she's bound.
She has her reward in being free of Aunt Bundren.
In that box 3 more days before they loaded her.
They were waiting for a new wheel for the wagon.
Barrier and New Hope. There's no way you can cross that river. If you do, it'll be another day and more before you even get a sniff of Jefferson.
She wanted it this way. She was ever a particular woman.
It is Jewel alone who lifts that box onto the wagon.
It won't balance.
Pick it up. God damn you, pick it up.
It won't balance.
Pick it up, you thick-nosed, peg-legged, goddamn son of a bitch.
Jewel picks up that box all on his own, hoists it upon his strong, wide back like he is a horse.
Steady now.
It won't balance.
Jewel gathers it up and carries it like he is a wave of great water, and she is a straw upon it, a rushing straw on the furious tide of his despair.
Mama always loved him most.
God damn you! God damn you all!
And we are off to Jefferson.
Jewel rides off ahead, all wild and angry, all fired up on that horse he has as if it were a stove that kept him permanently hot, steel-kilned, and hating us on the wagon. Dewey Dell sits up front with Pa, holding her belly like it was a pot that stirs itself. And Mr. Tull
came along as far as Samson Bridge, knowing as how they'd never cross it.
Cash lies along the coffin, and me and Darrell sit backwise, and I tell him,
my mother's a fish.
Jewel's mother is a horse.
And what's your mother, Darrell?
I ain't got one. If I had, it was. And if it is was, it can't be is.
And above us, motionless and tall in soaring circles.
Vultures!
I suspect she is beginning to smell some.
I think she is, Pa.
And she was always a particular woman.
When we came to Samson's Bridge, the river had riz 5 foot or more. And the bridge
stands swaggering and shivering, nervous of the river's power, like the whole thing will go in a minute.
Fella can't see where the land is and where the river is.
That preacher, Mr. Whitfield, crossed it.
Yeah, on horseback.
3 days ago.
You scared, Pegleg?
It won't take a wagon, nor Mama neither.
You best go back and bury her in New Hope.
Go to hell!
I'm just
Who
saying.
Asked you? Who the goddamn asked you?
You! Shut up!
Well, goddamn him to hell!
I gave her my word. My promised word.
Mr. Tull, Pa, Dewey Dell, and Vardaman crossed along the washed-out bridge.
Edging and climbing and moving slow along it while it trembled so against the river's violence.
I carried myself real well.
The water was so mean and cold.
Like I am full of something precious.
Thick.
I dare not spill.
Like slush ice.
But spilled is what I want to be.
And these logs would come rushing up out of the river like they was part of the water, the waiting and the threat.
And when we reach the other side and stand on the bank, it is like landing on something tame. And all was well, we thought. until we looked across to see...
Cash and Darl and Jewel are turning the wagon round and driving it across the ford into...
Thick, dark currents scummed with flotsam.
Cash was controlling the wagon, and Darl was holding her down, while Jewel was crossing upstream on that wild horse of his.
Eyes rolling baby blue in its long pink face, and Jewel erect and poised. The river, him, the horse, all one.
And as we entered the water,
thick, soiled gouts of foam as though the river was sweating. These logs
come rushing at us.
I'll ride on ahead. Follow where I am.
Jewel, hold on.
Go on now, I said. God damn it.
Jewel, it won't take the wagon. It won't take it. She, I made it on a bevel. It won't balance.
Get going, damn you.
The wheels murmur alive in the water.
It ain't on balance.
Get going.
You're too low in the water.
I said follow me, God damn it. Follow me. It ain't too deep.
It ain't on balance. Jewel.
If you're afraid to drive over,
get over. Take the rope and come down the bank and be ready for it.
The current took us.
I saw the current take them. This log surged up out of the water
and threw us into surging and heaving desolation.
Ride on! Can't hold on!
The wagon turned and the mules turned with it.
Cash tried to hold on, but he and Darl had to jump free when the wagon turned and the mules with it. And the box with her in it slipped under all that water.
I held on to her. I did not let go, but she slipped from me, and I came up a long way on without her.
Where's Ma? Where is she, Darl?
He knew she was a fish. He let her get away!
I never seen a river so angry and aimed at fighting down a man. I hauled Darl onto the bank, but it was Jewel who swam after Addie, and it was he who caught hold of her, lifting her up out in the water with this animal roar, as if he were pulling it unglued from the gluey water. Jewel hauled Cash out, too. Dragged him out of that boiling water and then went in after the wagon and the mules, too. I never liked the man. He spoke nothing good, and not even often. But he had a body consent to do whatever he wished. Except he seldom wished enough.
Even the mules made it to land.
Cash lay down and vomited. And his leg was busted clean.
Why, Cash, that is the same leg as you busted last year. A fellow might call it luck to bust the same leg twice and leave the other well alone.
I told you it wasn't balanced. Didn't I say?
And so we stood victorious by water. We had reached the other side. The single monotony of desolation. A place where the motion of the wasted world accelerates before the final precipice. We had been trialed by water and would be trialed by fire soon enough.
Jewel, of all of them the heaviest and most loved. They were my burden in life, and now in death I am become theirs. Sometimes I lie like this by my husband, Anne's, and think, why him? His name no more than a shape to liquefy and fade. And then I would think of each of my children, and they too as names to liquefy and fade. Except Jewel. I took Anne's as my husband, so as not to be alone, although even then he was beginning to hump. a tall man like a bird hunched in cold weather. But it was when I had cash I knew motherhood was just a word invented, and that all words are like spiders dangling by their mouths from beams, swinging and twisting and never touching. Love is a word, too. Just a shape to fill a lack. I was barely living, and words were no good at all until the preacher, Mr. Whitfield, came. And I would wait for him in the woods, and we would be dressed in sin. I hid nothing. I took precautions only for his sake, not mine. Just as I wore clothes in the world's face. Then it was over. And I knew I would never see him coming swift and secret to me in the woods, dressed in sin like a gallant garment blowing aside with the speed of his secret coming. But for me it was not over. I found that I was with Jewel, and 2 months gone. My other children are of me alone, of the wild blood boiling along the earth. But with Jewel, the wild blood boiled away in me, and there was only milk, warm and calm. I gave Anne's Dewey Dell, and then Vardaman, to negative Jewel. And he has 4 children that are his, and I got ready to die. Sin is a matter of words. And salvation is just words, too.
Now there are 7 of them in little black circles.
Look, doll. See? Vultures.
We watched them in little tall black circles of not moving.
Yesterday there were just 4.
Cash is sick. He lies on top of the box. My mother is a fish.
Yeah, how do you feel, Cash?
Oh, darling. It don't bother me none.
You want it propped up a little higher?
Cash has a broken leg. It is broken in 2 places. He lies on the box with a quilt rolled under his head and a piece of wood under his knee.
It kind of grinds together on the pumps, but I don't bother none.
Now there are 9 of them, tall and little black circles on the sky. Now there are 10 of them, tall and little black circles on the sky.
Them birds can smell my mother from way up there. And when we pass through a place, all the people look and hold their noses at us, like it was us that did the smelling and not her.
Wasn't nobody from New Hope to Jefferson didn't know the Bundrens were coming. You could smell them, or her. All the ladies scattering up and down a street, and hard-nosed men are following them. That poor woman had been dead 8 days. She would have been ashamed if she'd been living.
She was always a particular woman.
They had her in some homemade box, and there was a fellow with a broken leg on top of it. That's why they stopped.
For cement.
Cement? What the hell for?
My son Cash here done bust his leg, and we needs to make ourselves a cast.
Oh, you kill him a cement cast on a busted leg?
Oh, Pa, it don't bother me none except the bumps.
So mean he wanted to break a sack and have only 10 cents worth, and I let him have it just to take away the smell. And they went rolling on again to Jefferson with them vultures flapping after them. You could smell them 1 day later.
We'll have to borrow a bucket from somewhere to mix that cement.
I wouldn't be beholden, God knows.
And we'll need water to mix it.
Then make it yourself. We can use Cash's hack. Yeah, we better not lift him down. We can fix it here.
You want to be lifted down, Cash?
Won't we get to Jefferson tomorrow? I can last it out.
It'll be easier on you.
I can last it. We'll lose time stopping.
We done bought the cement now.
I mixed the cement, stirring the water into pale green coils.
Does that look about right, Cash?
You need to touch more water, or it won't set right.
Jewel, make your brother some more water.
Oh, God damn it.
We loosened the splints and poured the cement over his legs slow.
How does that feel, Cash?
Feels fine. It's cold. Feels fine.
We replaced the splints, the cords drawing them tight, the cement in pale green slow surges among the cords.
It'll help you some. I ask your forgiveness. I never foreseen it no more than you.
It feels fine.
We stopped the night in a barn some good people let us. The folk who own it are real nice. They offer us food and a bed, but Pa says,
we will not be beholden.
And so we will sleep in a moon-dappled orchard, and Mama will stay in their barn. They have horses and some cows in there, too. And we put Mama in with them, and Jewel, too, because he loves horses more than anything alive.
I would rather stay in here with you than with them buzzards out there. I remember how it should be. Me and her, high on a hill, rolling rocks down at their faces, picking them up and throwing them down until they was quiet, and their words liquefied and fade. I'm not one for words. I do. I is. I'm like these horses. My mind is clean and knows itself.
Jewel, whose son are you? Your mother was a horse, but who was your father? It ain't Ants.
You goddamn lying son of a bitch!
Don't call me that.
You goddamn lying son of a bitch!
I could burn in that hot stare of his, feel the look of him on my flesh, as if it were flames licking at my body. I would be trialed by fire and made strong, steel kilned and true like him by fire.
I lie by my brother Cash in the moon-dappled orchard, and I ask,
Cash, are you sweating a little?
It's getting a little hot. The sun's been shining on it all day.
You want me to pour some water on it? Maybe it'll ease me some.
I'd be obliged.
His leg and foot below the cement look like they've been boiled.
I'm obliged. I feel fine.
I feel it inside me. This life I do not want. And the moon shines on me through these leaves, and on it too, even though it can't be seen, and turns and hides from light. So why not let it live in the dark of me forever like a memory? Why bring it in the light to live and die at all?
Duodell!
Shh! Now let me sleep.
I seen something in the barn.
That's just Mama. She ain't a fish. You know that.
No, I seen something in the barn.
What you seen, boy?
I seen Daryl setting the barn on fire.
Daryl set the barn on fire. Shh! You keep that to yourself. You hear? You hear me?
Jewel was made for fire. See how he materializes as if newborn from flames, naked in their glare. He springs out like a flat figure cut from tin as the whole barn takes fire at once. He is black against the flames, and so is she. The square, squat shape of her coffin on the sawhorses, like a cubistic bug coming to relief. There is no greater crime than the burning of a barn.
Come on! Help me free the horses! Quickly, goddamn you!
I watch watch him leap towards the stall where the horses scream and plunge and kick, and the sound of crashing and people screaming at the flames. All noise high and meaningless and profoundly sad. Jewel drags the horse out by its head. In the glare, its eyes roll with soft, fleet opaline fire. Its muscles bunch and run. He passes me stark naked, his shirt wrapped about its head.
Forget the horses, Jewel! Go back and get your mother!
It was the horse he chose first to save. But he runs back just as the flames lap about her like they really love her. And for an instant, he looks up at us and through the rain of burning hay. And I can see his lips shaped to call my name. He lifts her up on his back, and she is riding him like he was a horse. I is Darl, but is no more. I was, is was Darl. Now, Darl is Darl. 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 Darl.
The barn is still red, but it isn't a barn now. It is sunk down and the red goes swirling up.
We held the lamp and looked at Cash's foot and leg where it was black.
I reckon we'll have to bust it off.
What in the hell we put it on for then?
I thought it would steady it some.
How are you, Jewel?
Jewel's back is as black as Cash's foot.
I put some butter on it to draw out the fire.
And then we got out the flat iron and the hammer to break the cement case off Cash's leg.
That's cracked it, but it won't come off unless it takes his hide with it.
Didn't you think to grease his leg?
Who asked you, boy? I am just a poor, misfortunate man, and no man mislike this more than me, so shut the goddamn up or I'll tan your hide big as you are. You hear? I just aimed to help him. It was Darl put it on. Where is he? Where's Darl?
He is out there under the apple tree with her, lying with her. The moonlight dapples him and her. On her, the moonlight is still, but on Darl, it dapples up and down.
I know what you did, Darl. You set fire to the barn. Vardaman saw you. There is no greater crime than setting fire to a barn.
I know you and what lies inside you.
You know nothing.
What lies inside you, living, curled, and feathered in your belly that you won't rid, which is why you're going to Jefferson for to kill it or have it killed.
You say nothing, Darl. You say nothing.
You can get something at the drugstore for it. You got the money?
I got the money. I got $10 saved.
You can get something at the drugstore for it.
You say nothing, Darl. You say nothing. You hear me, or so help me God, not one word.
I have words. What else do I have to do but say them? Darl is words on air. They is and is not. They are spoken, and they is, was.
Darl is mad. He cannot tell Pa. He is mad and burned down a barn, and his is mad. And he can't say a word which ain't mad, and he will always be disbelieved. See if it ain't so.
He burned down the barn?
He burned down the barn.
Darl is mad.
He was never right.
His head is too wide for this narrow world.
Ain't nothing else to do but send him to Jackson.
Jackson?
Yeah. These folks know he burned down their barn and it's prisoner Jackson. Which?
Jackson. He's mad with lies and hate. And no one should hear a word of what he says except the other loonies up there in Jackson.
It seems awful hard No man mislike it more than me.
He burned down a barn, goddamn. Them horses could have got hurt.
Jackson, he is mad with lies and hate, and no one should hear a word of what he says.
I was against it. Who can say when a man's crazy and when he's not? But I thought maybe it all sort out in time. Said nothing more. At mid-morning, there we were, at last, in Jefferson.
Shouldn't we get Cash to a doctor?
No. First, we must bury your ma. That's why we came. That, and to buy me some new teeth. It seems it is my reward.
We need a shovel to dig the grave. You ain't got one.
This is my pa, so-called, Anse Bundren. He has to borrow a spade to bury his wife with. If he could, he'd borrow the hole, too.
The people of Jefferson are neighborly that I know. Last time I was here, I met Addie Bundren, and I married her.
Maybe that house has a shovel. Shall I ask him, Pa?
No, I reckon I better.
We are outside that house some 10 minutes or more. And all the time we can hear this graphophone as natural as a music band. Then we saw Pa coming back with two spades. And he turned round and lifted his hand a little. And I saw the shade pull back at the window. And this lady's hand and face.
Is that the lady with the graphophone? The graphophone will be awful nice at home, wouldn't it, Darl?
Darl does not answer. Darl is not his. He is was. He keeps tight shut so he can be his no more.
Addie Bundren would be mighty pleased. She is being buried with her blood in Jefferson with all her folk about her and in a box made by her son. I have kept my promise, and new teeth is my reward.
We buried Addie proud. Had been through fire and water, so to do. But as we walked away from the grave that Jewel had dug with such relentless pride, the only one who did not know to guess at what the next trial would be was Darl. When we got it filled and covered and drove out of the gate, there were these fellows.
I fixed it all when I was at the house of the woman with the graphophone.
They was waiting for him. And when Dewey Dell stood up on the wagon and pointed at him,
"That's him there! He's the mad one that burned down the barn! That's him!"
And she jumped on him before even they did, like a wildcat so bad one of them had to haul her off before she would have killed him. She was so fierce. But why? When I thought of all of us, they knew each other's minds in secret ways. And then Jewel was on him, too, and shouting,
"Kill him! Kill him! Kill him, son of a bitch!"
It was so bad. But it'll be better for him in Jackson. Quiet with none of the bothering and such, but
Darl has gone to Jackson. They put him on a train laughing, down the long car laughing. Yes. Darl is our brother. Our brother is Darl. He lives in a cage in Jackson. Yes.
I ain't sure that it ain't everybody as crazy. Ain't any of us watches what goes on with the same horror and astonishment.
What can I do for you?
Are you the doctor?
Sure I am. What is your trouble?
It is female trouble. I got the money.
You got something in your belly you wish you didn't have?
I got the money. He said I can get something at the drugstore for it.
Who said so? The one that put the acorn in your belly? You ain't married, are you?
I got the money.
Pretty girl, ain't you countrified?
You ain't the doctor.
Sure I am. Is it because I look too young or am I too handsome? They didn't run all the old doctors out of town, so the women would like us enough to get sick, and business would pick up. Ain't you heard?
Hey, you got something for it.
I got to do something.
How bad you want to do something? Maybe you'll lay an egg.
I ain't got but $10. Is that enough?
I can't put no price on my knowledge and skill.
What do you want, then?
Lean close, and I tell you.
Give me the medicine first.
Here's two for now.
They smell of turpentine.
They got a smell of something. That's just a start. You come back here at 10 o'clock tonight for the operation.
Operation?
It won't hurt you. You've had it before. Ever hear about the hair of the dog? You come back at 10 for the hair of the dog to bit you. You hear?
Do you dare? Look, they got a train in the window. A real train, almost.
It won't work.
What won't work?
I just know it. I just know it. What lives inside me is, and so must be.
We are going home. Like my pa says, God aimed for a man to be moving always. He put him long ways on his belly like a snake. Except Pa ain't on the wagon with us yet. Duadella's here, holding her belly like a pot that stirs itself. Invite a man has his train she done bought him. I would have bought me a graphophone if I'd had the money. But with this leg of mine, it'll be a time before I earn money again. Jewel is yonder with his horse, acting like he don't know us, which is his usual way. Poor Dahl is on the train to Jackson. And Pa ain't here. No, he isn't there. He is with the lady who had the graphophone and kindly borrowed us the two shovels.
What's going on in there?
I don't know, except she ain't playing her graphophone. Maybe he is showing her his new teeth. They make him look a foot taller, that's a fact. There's awful white in his head.
They'll yellow soon enough.
And did you smell him? He's been up to the barbershop and got himself all done up and perfumed.
Perhaps he's remembering Ma. Last time he was in Jefferson, he met and married Addie Bundren. Here he comes now.
She's coming out, too.
The lady with the graphophone?
And indeed she was. A kind of duck-shaped woman, all dressed up with them kind of hard-looking Popeyes, like she was daring a man to say nothing. And I see she is carrying that little graphophone.
This here is cash.
How'd you do?
Dewey Dell.
How'd you do?
Bartman.
Hello. Is that a graphophone?
And that evil-looking fellow is Jewel.
And who's she?
This is the next Mrs. Bundren.
So it proved to be. Every time now a record comes from mail order, and us sitting in the house in winter listening to it, I think what a shame Darl couldn't be here to enjoy it, too. But it is better so for him. This world is not his world. This life, his life.
In As I Lay Dying by William Faulkner. Dramatized for radio by James Friel. Cora was played by Lorelei King, Addie, Mary Ellen Ray, and Tull, Bob Sherman. Cash was played by Eric Lauren, Ants, Ed Bishop, Dahl, Stuart Milligan, and Jewel, Colin Stinton. Dewey Dell was Amanda Gordon, Vardaman, Martin T. Sherman, and Dr. Peabody and Whitfield the Preacher, Bill Bailey. As I Lay Dying was produced by Marilyn Imrie, directed by Owen O'Callaghan, and is a Catherine Bailey production for BBC Radio 4.